Why don't we turn back in our Bibles to John 17, where if you remember, just before Easter Sunday, we started looking at the Lord's special prayer of consecration to His Father. And even though this is not the only prayer that Jesus prayed on the eve of His crucifixion, it is the longest one that we have, but it's also the longest prayer that we have recorded of Jesus in all of the Gospels. And it really was one of those prayers just on the eve of His arrest and crucifixion for our sins. In this prayer, Jesus first prays for and consecrates Himself so that He might continue to glorify His Father even through His death. And we saw that in the first five verses. But then, beginning with verse 6, Jesus starts to pray for His own disciples. First of all, the disciples that He had back then, even the 11 disciples that were witnesses of this prayer. But then He continues His prayer for the disciples that He would have in all time, including in this time. He prays for us who belong to Him by believing in His Son. But then Jesus also prays for our unity, that we might continue to live for Him. In the verses that we come to this morning, Jesus transitions from that prayer for Himself to His prayer particularly for His 11 disciples who had made it with Him in His ministry that far. And so in verses 6 through 8, which will be our text today, Jesus gives His own personal testimony about His own disciples. Let's keep that in mind as we read these verses together. Jesus' testimony about His disciples. Jesus says, verse 6, I have manifested Thy name. Of course, remember, He's not talking to His disciples. He's talking in prayer to His Father, and His disciples are just witnesses of this. But Jesus says in prayer to His Father, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me. And they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. Now, even though Jesus prayed these words about His disciples then, in many ways, they still apply to us today. Because those 11 disciples represent us. But just before Jesus offers His own personal request for His disciples, which He begins there in verse 9 when He says, I pray for them, right? I pray for them. Here He gives us the reason for that prayer. He gives us the very foundation and the very basis for that prayer. And that is, Jesus prays to His Father for His disciples because those disciples, as we've been singing about, belong to His Father. And so what we find in these verses is Jesus' own personal testimony about those disciples. Now, when you think about someone's testimony of salvation, we saw, or really heard, a couple of those testimonies last Sunday night. On Easter Sunday, we heard the story of a couple that in past trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Of course, you all have your own personal testimony of salvation if you know the Lord as your Savior. When you think about your testimony or somebody else's testimony, you often think about it in terms of what happened to you or what you did in the process of this salvation that God wrought in your life. But what we just read is actually the other side of that kind of testimony. And that is God's side of the testimony. And that's the first part that we find in verses 6 through 7. This is the first part about the testimony of anyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is God's own testimony, even Jesus' own testimony of acknowledgement of who His true disciples are and who His true disciples belong to. Now, when you were first born, how was it that people knew that you were your parents' child? Or even as you got a little older, how was it that you knew that you were your parents' child? Well, some would say because you kind of look like them. You know, maybe you look a little bit more like your mom than your dad, or like your dad versus your mom, but that's one way. Of course, the thing that really kind of encapsulates it is, from the government's perspective, you've got a birth certificate, all right? So whoever was there and signs that birth certificate, the doctor himself was probably the one that was there to witness the fact that you came from your mother and you are your parents' child. But really, the main reason why people know, and even you know, that you belong to your parents is because they claim you as their child. You're not going to walk, they're not going to walk around with a birth certificate to show and to prove that you belong to them. But the very fact that they are carrying you is proof that you belong to them. Or the fact that they take care of you and give you the food that you need, or the milk that you need, or the place to sleep that you need. It's all because they knew that you belong to them, that you now know that you belong to them. You see, that's the other side of a person's testimony about salvation, is that the reason why you know you belong to God is because God knows that you belong to Him. And that's what we find here in Jesus' own personal testimony, not just about His disciples then, but even about His disciples today. That's what we find going on in these words, because according to Jesus' own testimony, His disciples belonged to His Father. His disciples belonged to God. Even as He says there in verse 6, the title of the message, "Thine they were," Jesus says. "Thine they were," Jesus says. That is, His own disciples were God's and had been all along. This is Jesus' own testimony about His disciples. And what a comfort it must have been for those disciples to hear these words from Jesus' own lips, that they belonged to God. After all, Jesus first in this verse, verse 6, tells His Father about His own communication to them. His own communication to them. Again, verse 6, Jesus says to His Father in prayer about His disciples, "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world." Again, "I have manifested Thy name." And again, Jesus is still speaking to His Father. His disciples are just eavesdropping at this point of this conversation between He and His Father. But Jesus is confirming His own ministry for His Father in this world. If you remember from last time, Jesus is simply giving His Father His final report. You know, He didn't have to tell His Father all of these things because His Father already knew all these things. Because God knows everything that Jesus did, because God was involved in everything that Jesus did, because God the Father and God the Son and certainly God the Holy Spirit are all involved in what God does in this world. He didn't have to tell His Father these things, but He does so in a form of a report. It's His final report card, if you will, of what He had done for His Father in this world. And in this report, Jesus tells His Father that He fulfilled His will, according to verse 4, by glorifying Him on the earth. Remember that? Jesus says, and He's the only one that ever could say to God in heaven, "I have glorified You in everything that I've said, in everything that I've done, in everything that I have accomplished for You." He says, "I have fulfilled Your will." But then He even adds there in verse 4, in this report, this final report card to His Father, that He finished His work. The very work that God the Father had given Him to do. Well, here in verse 6, He continues that report. Not only does Jesus say, "Father, I fulfilled Your will. Father, I finished Your work." Now He says, "Father, I was faithful in My witness about You." In fact, that's why He says, "I have manifested Your name to the ones that You gave Me." To manifest simply means to reveal. To reveal something, to disclose something. And here Jesus says, "I have shown to these disciples that I am praying around here, the ones that are listening in on us, I have shown to them Your name. I've revealed to them, Father, Your name. I've manifested Your name." Now, names back then, and names in the Bible, carried greater significance and meaning than they often do now. I know that when I was given my name, Stephen, my parents had some things, some meaning in mind for that. Probably not the etymology of that word, which basically means crowned one, a Stephanos is a crown, but they named me for someone in the Bible, Stephen, the very first martyr that we come to in the book of Acts. Well, when Angie and I got together and we started deciding what we were going to name our children, we didn't have the same kind of significance in mind when we named Paige, Paige, and Braden, Braden. I'm not even sure what those names mean, actually. We just kind of liked them. We thought they went well with Elmer. There's not a whole lot of names that go well with Elmer, by the way. So we had to come up with something. But again, names back then had a lot more significance and meaning than names today. And the name of God, the name of the Father, the name that Jesus reveals about His Father simply means that Jesus came to reveal the person and character of God. That's what the name of God means in the Bible. It's everything about Him, everything that He's like, everything that He's done. It talks about His greatness and His grace, His goodness and His power. It reveals the very person and character of God. I like how one writer says, it's to reveal the very nature, the essential nature of God to men. And that's what Jesus is saying in His own report to His Father. I have revealed to these men who You are, Father. I've shown to these men who You are, Father. I revealed to them Your very name and nature because this was all part of Jesus' mission. And so that's what Jesus did. How does Jesus do this? Well, we know that Jesus explained to His disciples over and over again just who God is through His own words. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we went through the Gospel of John is to learn not just about Jesus, but to learn about God, to learn about God the Father. And to learn how His Father can become our Father if we have Him as our Savior. And so Jesus explained who God the Father really is through His words. But do you realize that Jesus also expressed to His disciples the nature of God all through His life? Because Jesus, as we all know, is God in the flesh. He is the very Son of God. He is the very God of gods. And that's why He could portray the nature of His Father, because He possesses the nature of His Father. Jesus reveals His Father because Jesus possesses the very nature of His Father, that divine nature. And that special communication about God's own nature is what Jesus faithfully did and faithfully reported back to His Father. Father, I have fulfilled Your will. I have finished Your work. And I was faithful in my witness about You to these men, even to those 11 men that were standing around there or sitting around there listening in into this conversation. Jesus says, I have revealed You to them. And that revelation about God's own nature shows even further His own care for His disciples. His own care for His disciples. Here, Jesus describes His disciples in some very special ways, doesn't He? First of all, Jesus calls His disciples the ones that He gave to Him out of this world. The ones that God the Father gave to Him out of this world. And then He expands on that even more in verse 6 and says, Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me. These are some words that really deserve our contemplation, our thoughts. Because all this means is that the disciples were a specific group who were all chosen by Jesus, not in some random way, but in a very special and specific way. You see, Jesus chose them in time because they belonged to God. They belonged to God. Again, I love how Jesus says to His Father, Thine they were. Not just Thine they are, but Thine they were. You can even say that Jesus chose them in time because they belonged to God even before time. Even before they knew that they belonged to God. Even before they knew and believed in Jesus. This is Jesus' testimony about them, that they belonged to God. Isn't that an astounding thing to think about? Again, think about your own relationship to your own parents. You did not know that you belonged to them until they first revealed to you that you belonged to them. And that's what we find here. Jesus is saying, "Thine they were, Father. Thine they were." And this is, of course, true for those disciples then, but this is true for every disciple, every true believer in Jesus Christ. Not only do you belong to God, you did belong to God. And that is Jesus' own testimony about you. Thine they were. You were, like them, a specific group chosen by Jesus. But this also means that they were part of a special group. A special group in that God the Father actually gave them all to Jesus as a gift. Now, we already kind of touched on this when we saw what Jesus said back in verse 2. Remember, Jesus reported to his Father that his mission was to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What an amazing picture. How God the Father actually gave those disciples to Jesus as a gift. And again, not just those disciples back then, but even those who are his disciples today. Those disciples then represent the disciples of Jesus today, including those sitting here in this room. And so Jesus says, these are the ones that you have given me. So the ones that God the Father chose to belong to him, even before the foundations of the world, then Jesus was given the responsibility to call them in time, to care for them, even to coach them by training them and teaching them to know and live for the God who knew them. What a special group God's disciples are. What a special group true believers in Christ are. God chose so that Jesus could care. And that's what Jesus shows in this prayer. I'm going to take care of whatever you gave to me. You know, there are some prized possessions I think we all probably have in this room. Things that someone that you loved and loved you gave to you. Maybe an heirloom of something. And it doesn't always have to be someone in the family, does it? I remember when I first came to Grace Baptist Church and Lisa's dad, Pastor Summers, he gave me, and I still have it, a letter. A special letter. From one pastor to another pastor. From someone who sought to serve God with his whole life in this place to another one that was just coming on into this place. And that is one of my most prized possessions. From time to time, I'll read it again to remind myself of what he was encouraging and admonishing me to do. But when you have something that is given to you as a precious treasure, as a precious gift, you're not just going to, you know, just put it in the file box. You might put it in a special box. You might do things to preserve it or to take care of it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Those who God the Father have given to him as a special gift, he is going to care for. They're a specific group. They're a special group. And that's why Jesus is going to help and care for them. But this also means that these disciples were a separated group. A separated group because God gave them to Jesus, Jesus says, out of the world. Out of the world. And the fact is, all disciples of Christ, even back then, are in the world, right? I mean, we all have our feet in this world. We've all been born into this world. The fact is, God chose them, and God chose us from this world to become more and more out of this world. You know, people are calling this eclipse tomorrow an out-of-this-world experience. You know, you think of it, this is out of this world. It's something that is great. It is something spectacular. It is something amazing. That is why God chose you. That is why God sent Jesus to care for you. That is why God sent Jesus ultimately to save you so that you could be out of this world. There could be a difference in you than in this world. You could be separated out from this world. And so when Jesus came, he came to call you and then to care for you, to coach all of those disciples, all for the purpose ultimately of changing and transforming them, changing and transforming us because of God's special plan and purpose for us. This is Jesus' personal testimony about those who belong to God. This is God's side of your testimony. This is something that happened even before you were even born into this world. This is something that God has set in place in time so that you can experience the fact that thine you were. You were God's. And he's just bringing it out in time for you to know. Again, Jesus says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And I love how he puts it, thou gavest them me. This is the third time in this prayer that Jesus says something of that like. Again, in verse 2, as you have given all power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All right, that's the first time. Then here in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And then here comes that third time, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. I think this third time, it's not just a statement of fact, it's a statement of feeling. You get a real feeling of how Jesus thought about his disciples. They're yours, Father, and you gave them to me, Father, and I'm going to care for them by giving my life for them so that they can have eternal life and know you and know me. You see, what can be said of those 11 disciples? That they were Jesus' greatest treasure can be said of all Jesus' disciples. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then this God's side of that testimony is true of you. And you are God's special treasure. And he gave you to his own Son to accomplish in time that which he had planned from eternity. What was said of those disciples then can be said of us today. You too are part of God's specific and special and separated group. You belong to God because he chose you and then called you so that he might care for you and ultimately change you to become more and more out of this world. That's why you, if you know Christ as your Savior today, are his greatest treasure. And this testimony is about you. And that is, I think, absolutely remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. You see, I think a lot of the hymns that we sing, we have a lot of personal testimony songs, those spiritual songs that we sing to the Lord. But sometimes we need to remember God's side of that testimony. How ultimately that birth certificate that we have is something that belongs in heaven itself. And God is going to reveal to us in time what he has set in place, even from eternity. Thine they were. But then we also have Jesus' testimony about their commitment to the Lord. How do you know this? How do you know this? It wasn't until I was probably out of college till I actually took possession of my own birth certificate. Before then, it was in my parents' lockbox, right? So in order to really have proof that I belonged to them, I had to go to the lockbox and look at it for myself. But now I have it, right? Now I have that birth certificate, and I can look at it any time. I don't do that, by the way. I know who I belong to. Not because it's in writing, but because of the care that my parents had shown to me all those years in my life. But how is it that you know that God's side of your testimony is true? Well, it's because of what Jesus adds here in verse 6, when he says, and they have kept thy word, and they his disciples, and again, he's speaking specifically about those 11 disciples, they have kept thy word. Now, I think the word that Jesus is talking about is the main message given by God to man through the gospel. It's the word of Jesus. It's the message of the gospel. Because we know that this message is not only given in written form, we have in our Bibles, don't we? It's not even just given in spoken form in the words of Jesus. It is actually a living word, a living gospel, because Jesus himself is the gospel. He is the good news into this world. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse that we looked at in this entire gospel, John introduces Jesus in what way? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And so the word here is everything that Jesus said to them and everything that Jesus showed to them about the Father. So Jesus says, they've kept thy word. They've essentially kept the gospel. They've kept the message that I've given to them. And so here Jesus says now that they kept his Father's word. Now we know that these disciples were fallible men. We know that these disciples failed many times in their life. And sometimes you have to step back and you think, well, what is Jesus saying here? What does Jesus mean when he says that these disciples not are keeping your word, not will keep your word, but they have kept your word? Didn't these disciples fail earlier? Didn't Jesus already prophesy that they would fail him again? In just a few hours' time, these same disciples who are listening to this prayer of Jesus will actually scatter from Jesus when that shepherd is smitten and struck. As his sheep, they will scatter. And of course, this side of the cross, we know that. We read it. We have their faults. We have their failings. We have it in black and white, even in the scriptures themselves. We have a testimony, not of them keeping the word, but of failing the word, of failing Jesus himself. And yet, Jesus doesn't pray that. Is Jesus pulling the wool over his Father's eyes when he says that? No. Jesus is stating as a fact what is really truly in the heart of those disciples and what is truly in the heart of all those who God the Father has given to his Son. Jesus knew that those disciples would in a few hours' time run away from him as their shepherd. And yet Jesus still sees them and speaks about them as having kept God's message to them. He's not talking about perfection here, but about reception. He's talking about these disciples holding God's word, holding even him in the highest regard in their hearts, so that their greatest desire is to live according to God's word and all of God's word in this world. You see, that is how you know whether your birth certificate has been signed in heaven. It's because you have kept his word. And you keep his word by holding Jesus, the living word, in the highest regard in your life, because you know him. You recognize his love. You respond to his grace and goodness to you. And this is Jesus' own testimony about his disciples and what they did. They have kept thy word. Of course, we also know that there were times when Jesus, in this prayer, described something that was yet to happen as if it already happened, right? When he talked about glorifying thee in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. Was he about to glorify God even more through his death? Yes. But so sure of Jesus that he was going to fulfill God's will completely, even when he prays, it's as if it's already done. Or when he says, I have finished the work which you gave me to do in verse 4. Was there yet more work to be done in time? Yes. But from Jesus' perspective, it was so sure that it was already done. And so it is for his disciples. He knows that in him and through him and because of him, even though we're still striving to keep God's word in our life, from God's perspective, it's already done. They have kept thy word. But even more, Jesus adds there in verse 7, now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This does not mean that the disciples knew and understood everything there is to know about God or about Jesus, because that was not true then. It certainly isn't true today. But it does mean that when you know Jesus, you can truly know God, because God the Father has given everything to his Son. And that's really what God wants us to know, that everything that Jesus has is heavenly. Everything that Jesus is heavenly. Everything that Jesus does is from his Father, was given to his Father. So just think about all the words that Jesus said. Every single word that we've been looking at in John, and we can read in Matthew and Mark and Luke and every other passage where we have the words of Jesus, Every word was given to him by his Father. No word of Jesus was idle. We have a lot of idle words, don't we? We say a lot of things that we don't mean. Some things we say things that are wrong that we do mean. But not a single word of Jesus was happenstance. Not a single word of Jesus was accidental. Every single word of Jesus was given to him by his Father to say. Just think about all the works that Jesus did. Every single thing that Jesus did was given to him by his Father. Just think about all the wonders that Jesus performed. Miracle after miracle, sign after sign. Everything was given to him by his Father to accomplish. But then also think about all the disciples that Jesus had. Jesus says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Is Jesus talking about his words? Yes. Is Jesus talking about his works? Yes. Is Jesus talking about his miracles and wonders? Yes. But is Jesus also talking about them? How many times have we already seen that Jesus, when he describes his disciples, he says, they are the ones that you have given me. And now Jesus says about his disciples, they know that all things that you have given me are of thee. Even these disciples were now graciously given the awareness that they had a heavenly beginning, that they were from God too, that they had been given by God to his Son. And the more that you keep God's word in your heart, the more you will know all these things to be true about Jesus. Is it a comfort to know that you belong to God? Truly, the more you know that, the more comforting it is. And that's why we have this side of the testimony. This is why we have God's side of the testimony, that you belong to him. That birth certificate was signed in heaven for you. And now he's just revealing that truth to you in time so that you might believe it and receive it and accept it. This testimony of Jesus is a clear acknowledgement that his disciples really and truly belong to God. This is similar to what the Apostle Paul will say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to these words. Paul says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. The greatest assurance that you can have as a Christian is the assurance of the knowledge that God knows you, and that God possesses you, and that you belong to him. That's the foundation of our salvation. That's the seal that gives us that assurance. That's the side of the salvation testimony that really gives us the confidence that we need to make it through this difficult world, is knowing that not only do I have hold of God, but that God has hold of me, that I belong to him. And the greatest way to know that you belong to God is to have this testimony by God about you. Again, Jesus communicates the truth to us by revealing his Father to us. Jesus cares for us because God has chosen you and has given you to him. And Jesus now knows that you're committed to him when you're committed to his word. Now, even though that is the strongest testimony that someone belongs to God, again, it's only one part of that testimony. But it will always lead to the second part, which is what we're most familiar with, and that is the testimony of assurance. The testimony of personal assurance. And this is what we find in verse 8. This is what we find in verse 8, which describes the side of a testimony of those who know Christ. You see, it's only when God can give his testimony about you that you can then give your testimony about Christ. The only reason why some of those testimonies we heard about last week, and we only heard two, we were supposed to hear four. The only reason why you can read about testimonies in the Bible or hear about testimonies from someone that you know, or even have your own testimony, is because of God's testimony about you first. But then what happens? Now you can give your testimony about him. And that's what Jesus continues there in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And here's the personal testimony of all who know Jesus as their Savior, of all who truly belong to God. After Jesus reveals His words to them, and they have received them, Jesus says, and have known surely that I came from Thee, Jesus says, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. Now, verse 8 clarifies a few things that Jesus already said for us in verse 6. First of all, He clarifies what He meant by what He said when He manifested His disciples, or manifested His Father's name to His disciples. Remember? He says, I have manifested Your name, and now, verse 8, I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me. Again, Jesus is faithful. He's a faithful witness about everything that God the Father wanted us to know about Him. He knew that God's Word is the only way to connect God's people with God's own Son. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why Jesus had to live. This is why Jesus had to speak, to be able to reveal to us the very Word of God. God's Word is the only way to connect sinners with the Savior. God has ordained it in no other way except through the ministry of the Word of God. This is what Paul says as well in Romans 10, 17. So when faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. So that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring God's Word to us as the very touchstone of faith. Really, to see what you're going to do with His Word. If you respond to His Word, it shows that God's side of your testimony is already at work. If you don't respond to God's Word, it shows that perhaps you do not belong to Him. And that is a dangerous place to be. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But then in the rest of verse 8, Jesus clarifies a second thing. He clarifies how the disciples will respond to His Word. If you remember back in verse 6, Jesus says, they kept Your Word. What does He mean by that? Well, the rest of verse 8 shows us what He means. This is the response of a true Christian's testimony to the Lord. This is what a Christian's testimony will always be made up of. First of all, a true testimony of assurance will always include a reception of the truth. A reception of the truth. This is why Jesus says of His disciples there in verse 8, I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them. They, my disciples, my true disciples, have received them, the words that His Father gave to Him. Now, obviously, this points to a time in the lives of His disciples when they personally and actively tuned into God's Word. Maybe there is a time in your life when you received the Word of God. You received it just like someone is tuning in a radio or tuning in a television station or tuning into some kind of stream as it is today. A few weeks ago, we were helping clean up some stuff in my in-law's house and the upper attic, upper rooms, or trying to make it into a nice craft room for my mother-in-law. And just like the rest of us, we accumulate stuff, right? Some of those things are things that you might get from a garage sale or things that you might, you know, just have around the house over time. But then, again, some of those things are heirlooms. And I remember I saw one of those things sitting on one of the shelves, and I asked my mother-in-law about it, and she said, oh, that's Dad's dad's old radio. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, it's one of those box radios, and it had tubes inside the radio. You know, it's not electronic like things are today. And I thought, I wonder if it even works. You know, I think a lot of the radio and television transmissions are now all digital. So I wondered if it worked. And so my dad, father-in-law, came upstairs and we got it ready and made sure nothing was near it in case it burst into flames. And so I said, okay, first thing we're going to do is we're going to plug it in. You sure about this? You okay with this? He says, yeah, plug it in. So we plugged it in. Nothing happened. Didn't blow up. So far, so good. And then we thought, okay, let's see if we can catch something. Something on the radio waves. And we start moving in. And the line is, you know, it kind of goes like this. It not like what you do on the old-fashioned radios, even in your car. But And we started moving it. And I heard some buzzing. And then I stood back a little bit further. You know what's happening? And finally, I heard some voices. And I thought, oh, I'm on the right frequency with some station out here in Indianapolis. And I was able to get it on that radio. That's what happens to those who truly belong to God. When God's word is sent forth through Jesus, through the Bible, through the preaching and teaching of His own people, you know what is going to happen? There's going to be a tuning in of the hearts of those who truly belong to God with that truth, with that word, with that message of the gospel. And that becomes our side of the testimony equation. The fact is, thine they were, Jesus says, and you gave them to me, and I've given them your word. And now I see the results. They're tuning in. They're able to recognize my speech to them. They're able to recognize you through me. Has that happened to you? Have you heard and tuned into the message of God, the message of His Word, the message of the gospel? Then it shows to you God's grace to you, that He's extending to you and revealing to you that you belong to Him. What a magnificent salvation that we have. It's all of grace. It's all of God's goodness. And it's all centered on the living and written Word that we have from God. What a remarkable thing. To receive God's words means that you are open to them and welcoming of them. But what's the opposite? The opposite is to receiving the word is to close your ears to them or to shut your eyes to His truth. To turn your back and your heart on those words. It's kind of the difference between receiving a message from someone you like and someone you don't. Have you ever gotten a letter from the IRS? Thankfully, I haven't yet. Probably won't put this on the stream, you know. Don't want to get those messages. But, you know, if you get a letter from the IRS, what happens? I'm sure your heart starts to pitter-patter a little bit. What's this all about? What did I do wrong? What am I going to owe? How much is the penalty going to be? But then when you get a letter from someone that loves you, someone that knows you, someone that cares for you, someone that maybe is on a trip or someone that you haven't seen for a long time, instead of your heart becoming anxious, it becomes rested. That's what happens when God's side of the equation of this testimony is now being fulfilled in time, in your heart, in your life. The word resonates with you. The word is your word. The word is something that you treasure and delight. You will receive His words not with dread, but with delight. This is what the true testimony of assurance will include. It will have this reception of God's word in your heart and in your life. Have you done that? Are you receiving that? Are you tuning into His word? Not just here, not just now, but every day of your life. Are you listening to Him? Because that is a sign, a proof, an evidence that all of God's side of the testimony is true about you. That you really do belong to Him. That you really are His child. But then we can also see that a true testimony of assurance will also include not just a reception of the truth, but a recognition of the truth. A recognition of the truth, which is why Jesus also says in this verse that His own disciples have known surely that I came out from thee. It's not just receiving, okay? That's one thing. It's about actually knowing, believing truly the message that was given to you. You see, when you're open to the words of Jesus, it will lead you to a true confidence of Jesus if you really belong to Jesus. It's not just a confidence in the head, but a confidence in the heart about how Jesus came from God personally in order to bring you to God. You know, there are a lot of messages out there in the radio waves and streaming waves and all of those other waves that are out there, but not all of them are meant to really be accepted as true because a lot of it isn't true. But when you know, When God gives you graciously a real conviction that what he says is so, that what he says is true, that what Jesus said is truly from him, guess what? That's an indication that you really do belong to him. All the words of Jesus not only reveal his claims, but they confirm those claims that he came from heaven. That is just how powerful Jesus' words are. This book is not like any other book. Jesus' words are not like any other words. Jesus' message is not like any other message. It is a powerful message that can truly impact your heart. But then even more, a true testimony of assurance will include a rest in the truth. A rest in the truth, which means simply, like the rest of Jesus' disciples, last part of verse 8, they have believed that thou didst send me. To believe in Jesus simply means that God has persuaded you that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises and all the prophecies given by God about sending you a Savior from your sin. Have you been persuaded that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father but through him? Have you been persuaded? If there's that persuasion in your heart, that is assurance. That is that side of the testimony that you belong to God. And this belief must be based on the Word and the words of God as they're revealed in Christ. This is what a true testimony of assurance will be like. This is what a true testimony of assurance must be like. It must include reception and recognition of the truth that will then be the fuel for truly believing and resting in that truth. And when you have that personal testimony, you can have assurance that you belong to God. You can have assurance that you are part of that specific, special, separated group that God himself testifies about of those who belong to him. So to be saved, we need both sides of the testimony that Jesus gives here. Verses 6 and 7, God's testimony of acknowledgement of you. But how do you know that you belong to God? How can you be assured that you belong to God? It's with that other side of that testimony, which is the testimony of assurance through faith in Jesus as the Word of God. When you believe in Christ, it is the evidence that you belong to God. And it shows that that belonging is something that has always been and will never, ever be taken away from you. And that's why God chose you. That's why God called you in Jesus. That's why God cares for you. And that's why God is still changing you. So make sure that you have both sides of this testimony, that you understand both sides of this testimony. Because when you belong to God, the evidence of that is your belief in Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you again that Jesus prayed this prayer to you in a way like no other. It is a prayer, Lord, that delves deeply into the work of salvation from even eternity past. It's in the realm of things that we cannot fully fathom or understand or comprehend. But yet Jesus wanted to bring his disciples into that by revealing your purpose and your plan for them in order to know that they belong to you. Lord, even that we might know that we belong to you. And so, Father, I thank you that the touchstone, really the connection point between the testimony of acknowledgement by the Father and the testimony of assurance by disciples of Christ is really the Word of God. What do we do with your Word? Are we receiving it? Are we acknowledging its truth? And then are we truly resting and believing and trusting in it and really in Jesus, the living Word, in order to have assurance of that salvation from our sin? What have we done with Jesus? What have we done with those words? Oh, Father, I pray that we who have accepted those words and are resting in those words, I pray that this will be a message of assurance and comfort to them today, to show that all that God has put and given to the Lord Jesus, He will in no wise cast out. In fact, even though we still struggle with keeping Your word, from Your perspective, we already have kept Your word because we've kept it in Christ, and He is keeping us through that same powerful word. We who believe in Jesus can experience assurance of faith. But Lord, for those of us who may not, oh Father, I pray that You'll help us to see that it really comes down to our reception of the word, who we belong to and why. Father, touch them. Tune their hearts into Your word so that they might receive it, they might respond to it, they might rest in it, they might just believe. Oh, Father, I thank You for this testimony of Jesus about Your disciples. I pray, oh Lord, that it will be our testimony, and that, Lord, even though we might focus on our side, which involves faith in Christ alone, yet, Lord, help us to see again the other side. The divine side, the eternal side, the heavenly side that makes our side even possible. So that all the good that we experience from You, ultimately, we will give You the glory for. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.